James chapter 1, verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if a man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Precious Lord, we thank you. Father, we thank you so much for Calvary. We thank you so much for dying for our sin. We thank you so much for forgiving us of our evil, sinful ways. The psalmist said, blessed is the man or woman whose sins have been forgiven. Yes. Father God, thank you for a church that you shed your blood for. A church that's designed to accommodate and to be a place of worship for the people of God. We don't have many places we can go. But we come here to your house to worship and adore you, to hear from you, to be told, to be taught, to be learned, to get ready. As I heard Sister Claire say, get ready to meet you in the air. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Start a new series of sermons this week. New series we've talked about. We had a series on the joy of the believer. Talked about the joy of the believer. And then we talked about the blessed life. The blessed life. We talked about where those blessings come and who's the author of those blessings. But now I want to talk to you about a subject. Maybe 4 weeks, maybe 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks. I don't know. I had 8 points in this sermon, and I'm only going to get through one, and that's fine. That's fine. Because once I open up James and I read this, and I said, well, I can't start here without going here. I can't go here without going there. And y'all know how it goes. And it goes on and on and on. And we in James, and we're going to talk about the born again child of God. We're going to talk about being born again. We're going to talk about how are we born again. Now, folks, I'm taking for granted some things. I'm taking for granted some things that you know. The only way you can get to heaven, you must be born again. Now I know there's some folks out there teach a whole lot of different things. And they think, well, all you got to do is join the church. And you know, you can be on the usher board. You can be on the deacon board. You can be a deacon. And you can be, hell can be full of pastors, deacons, ushers, music directors, choir members that ain't been born again. There's some folks that can sing good, ain't been born again. There's some folks that can preach good, ain't been born again. There's some folks that can tithe good, but ain't been born again. But Pastor, how are we born again? That should be the question that screams from the mouth of church folks. James is a pastor, and he's teaching his church. Somebody, well, you know, you a little bit too dogmatic. You're a little too high strung and all that. Let me say, son, every preacher that got their head cut off in the Bible, every apostle that got their head cut off in the Bible, they got them cut off because they was fanatical about the business of church. They was fanatical about leading people to Christ. They was fanatical about the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the grave. James, talk to his church. Imagine being a member of a real apostles' church. Now, I'm not talking about these apostles on South Avenue and on Market Street. I'm not talking about them apostles. I'm talking about being a member of a church that has a real apostle. An apostle that's seen Jesus walk and talk and do miracles. And I'm talking about a real one, being a member of a real apostles' church. Not one with an airplane and gold shoes. I'm talking about a real apostle. James says, listen, do not err. Don't miss this. Don't take this for granted. Don't sleep on this. They call James camel knees. They call James, Apostle James, they call him old camel knees. Because he prayed so much that he had big calluses on his knees. That's what history say. He said, do not err. Don't miss this. He said, Deacon Jeremy, don't miss this.
Amen.
My beloved brother. He's talking to church. He's talking to people of God. People who know the Lord. And they still needed to be constantly warned and confronted and challenged. See, we think once people get saved, they don't got to be challenged no more. They ain't got to be tested no more. They ain't got to, let me tell you something. You're going to be tested every day that you live in this world. We was teaching on Wednesday night, and this is something I've said forever. Somebody said, now Wednesday night class, y'all know the era. But the Bible said Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. How many know I just misquoted scripture? I just messed that scripture up. I messed it up bad. You know why? Because it said, I said Jesus was a man of sorrows. The Bible says Jesus is a man of sorrows. There's a big difference. He is right now a man of sorrows. When he looks down on this world, when he looks at his church, and he said, my pastors are called by my name, you're not preaching the gospel. You're not warning your people, you're not getting them ready for heaven. Yeah, that's the job. We gotta get you ready for heaven. I know, he's not trying to get you ready for down here. Down here, get you ready for down here. He'll get you ready for heaven. I can't let nobody be just dying and sit up on them out teaching and preaching for 10, 15 years and die and go to hell. That's I take that personal.
Amen.
You gotta be ready. Even back in the 60s and 70s, the R&B folks knew, they say people get ready. The train is coming. Nobody won't say that. We don't want people to get ready. Folk dying ain't ready. Burying folks in Pittsburgh Steelers jerseys. Every good and perfect gift is from above.
Amen.
From above. Ain't nothing good coming from this earth. Ain't nothing good coming from this earth. If you got something good going on in your life, you need to be thanking God. You need to be thanking God. If something good happening in your life right now, you need to be thanking God.
Amen.
And you know, sometimes we need to thank God for some bad stuff. See, sometimes the bad stuff keep you from disaster. Sometimes the bad stuff will get you ready for the good stuff. Sometimes you got to go through something. Sometimes you got to go back into the fire. Get you ready. Watch this now. And I'm just going to go straight down this text today. I'm not going to try to jump all over. I got a lot of verses. I'm going to go right down this text. He says, talking about God, and I was thinking about this when we were singing the songs. With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Let me tell you something. Jesus ain't changing like the church is changing. See? Amen. Jesus ain't evolving like the world is evolving. See, the world is evolving. Jesus said, well, you got to evolve with the church. Got to move with the world. Church ain't got to move with the world. Jesus said, I am the Lord. I change not.
Amen.
And folks, if evolving, if the word of God is changing, then it's no good no more. Because it's 2,000, 3,000 years old. Jesus said, I am God, I changed not. I am the same. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. You know what he means? There ain't but one way to get to heaven, ain't there? He's not changing that. Okay? See? And you know, this ain't sport. See, a lot of folks think Christianity like sport. Team to win the NBA title, the Golden State Warriors win the NBA title, so everybody wants to shoot 3-point shots. And if NFL team wins the Super Bowl, and everybody win it by running, they win it by throwing, everybody go out and get a throwing game. No, the Bible ain't like that. David ain't like that. Okay? Here's the verse. One of the most impactful verses in the Bible. And we won't rest our hat on this verse and the meaning of this verse and what this verse calls us to do as people of God. James is saying here in verse 18. He says this in verse 18. He says, of his own will begat he us. Let me stop right there. Of his own will. Nobody was twisting Jesus' arm. Nobody was paying God under the table. He didn't have lobbyists coming at him and he didn't have to answer to nobody. He didn't have to answer to nobody. God don't have to answer to nobody. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works. God ain't looked out here and said, well, you know, they doing all right over here. I'm going to save him. Or he's been a good boy all his life. I'm going to save him. No. He said, of his own will begot he us. That word begot means he created us. He generated us. He called us. How did he do it? And I got Glory's back there pregnant, all swolled up. Beautiful. When my wife is pregnant, I look at her and say, you so fine. Swolled up self. Cindy was so beautiful, pregnant all. When that baby came out, that baby needed some real food. That started off with some breast milk and some formula. Then they started eating some little crackers and cheese balls. And next thing you know, they got a chicken wing in their mouth. We didn't watch Jake's babies come up. Now they eat macaroni and cheese and y'all don't understand what I'm coming at. He begot us of his own will with the word of truth. We talking about this born again. We talking about this relationship with God. Okay? Now when we born the first time, we come out, we need some formula, some milk, some cheese crackers, we go on. Now we getting Happy Meals, all that, because we need some physical food to feed our body so they would grow. Okay? Flesh got to eat. Now, this second birth that James is talking about requires some spiritual food.
Amen.
If you're born by the word of truth, the only thing your body ought to require is some word. You ought to be piping hot. You come to a church and ain't no word. Ain't no preaching. You only preaching sermonettes, 10 minutes. I heard one preacher say, well, if you can't say it in 10 minutes, it can't be said. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. We go to the restaurant, we eat out, we ain't in there 10 minutes. Okay? And that waitress is going to come around and say, hey, have you had enough? You want some dessert? Y'all know that. He begot us with the word of truth. Why does he have to? See, what's going on in James' day is going on in our day. Okay? The reason why James had to add truth on the end of that, on the end of that statement, is because folks not getting it. Folks not getting it. So James has to, he has to emphasize, it's not just word, it's the word of truth. There's a lot of words out there. Okay? Everybody getting a word. You talk to your saved friends, oh, I got a word, I got a word, I got a word, I got a, everybody getting a word. But here's the word. It's the word of truth. Stay with me. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. You can't be the first fruits of God's creation if you got the wrong seed in you. Okay? See, because what's going to come up out of you, if it's not the word of truth, it ain't but only one other kind of word it could be. So God said we ought to be that first kind of fruit. The first fruits of his creation. You go back to the Old Testament. When they gave a tithe, they was required to give the very best. The first fruits were considered the very best. The very best. And we cannot give God our very best if we don't have no word in us.
Amen.
If we full of Netflix and Oprah and green leaf and okay, you ain't giving God your very best when what come out of you, Steve Harvey said. Listen, if you don't give your God your very best when you get squeezed, when somebody squeeze you, the word of truth ought to come out of you. And if they keep squeezing you and stomping you and kicking you and despising you and rejecting you, it don't matter. The Bible says, he who endures to the end. Okay? You ain't going to get no less than what Jesus got. Okay? You're not going to get no less than what the apostles got. They killed them all. Okay? And they didn't send John to the Isle of Patmos to vacation. All right? God, folks are saying, well, you know, they didn't kill John. Let me tell you something.
They tried.
Okay? Historians say they put him in a hot pitch of hot oil, and he came up out of there, and the Demotion, the king, said, get this man far away from me as possible. Take him to the Isle of Patmos. And you know what was on the Isle of Patmos? Barbarians that was there to eat him alive. And you know what John said on the Lord's Day? He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day.
Amen.
In Patmos. See? Yeah. Let's keep going. I want y'all to be first fruits. I want y'all to be the very best. And the only way a Christian going to be the very best is they got to be filled with the very best. And that means the word of truth. Now, verse 19, wherefore? Because you were born again by the word of truth. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. See, a lot of folks got hearing problems. Okay? They hear what they want to hear. They got selective hearing. And if it don't match up what's in them, if it don't match up with how they was raised and how they was brought up, they not hearing it.
Amen.
They're not hearing it. Okay? And this is what Paul was saying, James was saying to his church. He said, let every man, woman, child, be swift to hear. Uh-huh. That word swift means quick. Determined. Okay? Be swift to hear. Watch this now. Slow to speak. Don't cut the man of God off. I could have had this conversation with a lot of folks one-on-one, could even stop me. But. See, they ain't gonna let you get that word out. God gave you a great platform. He said, preach the word. Because when you one-on-one, you ain't talking to nobody. Well, you know, that Jesus ain't the Bible. That Bible, old man book. That Bible written by the white man. That Bible is 2,000 years old. And Jesus, you know, you got a Rastafari. You got the Allah. And you got Buddha and Joseph Smith. Ain't getting a word in. Be slow to speak. Slow to wrath. See, because we're born with a sin nature. And when our nature is confronted, it's not normal for us to want to silence that voice. When John was out in the wilderness, he didn't tell Herodias and Herod to come. He didn't invite them. He didn't say, well, you know, I'm having a church service out in the wilderness and we're going to have locusts after church. They came there on their own. And you know what he did? He didn't change his message.
Amen.
He didn't change who he was. He seen him come and he said, oh, Lord have mercy. You ought not be with that woman because that's your brother-in-law's wife and you committing adultery by marrying her. Oh, folks don't like it when you get in their business. Okay? And he told the truth. And Herodias was hot as fire. Okay? And said, you know what? We're going to arrest him, put him in the dungeon. Put him in the dungeon. Guess what Herod did? I don't have the scripture. Herod went down there every day. And the Bible said he enjoyed hearing John. And then Herodias had a party. See? See, when church folks start having parties, ain't nothing good coming. I mean, if you in the club all night, the man of God in trouble.
Amen.
Okay? So Herodias having a party. They drinking, having a party, and they got the dancing girls, you know. It's just a glorified strip club. And they got Herodias' daughter out there doing the dirty dance. She doing her thing. Okay, she twerking and working and Herod is drinking. See, alcohol and sex is a bad combination. Okay? Alcohol, testosterone, and naked women get men in trouble. Okay? So now they dancing. And they pouring the drinks. And Herod say, whatever you want up till half the kingdom is yours. See, when you're drunk, you say some stupid stuff. Okay? Let me tell you something. I've been working in the prison almost 30 years, and Roy can say the same thing. 80% of folks locked up was high on alcohol and drugs when they committed their crime. See? That's why they call it spirits. Back in the day when we was coming up, you go to a bar, it wasn't called a bar. It was called spirits. House of spirits. Listen. Be slow to speak. Hear the word of God. Be slow to wrath. Because if you're not saved, Satan gonna speak through you. Okay? If you're not filled with the word of God and you start calling out the man of God, then Satan gonna call him out. Why? Because he's an accuser of the brethren. Satan's Bible says Satan comes to do what? To kill, steal, and destroy. And Jesus come with an opposite agenda. He said, I come to give life. And life, that life what? More abundant. So Satan don't want Jesus in talking to nobody. So be slow to hear. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. Listen. For the wrath of man, unsaved man, when I was unsaved, full of wrath. Unsaved folks, full of wrath. Okay? How you know? Watch this now. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Let me say that again. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. A wrathful man, an unsaved man, and it's going to be hard to get some good out of him. It's going to be hard for him to speak good of God. Why? Because the unsaved man is God. He's his own God. And you start talking about another God, you'll be like, huh? You know, there's another king born in Bethlehem. That didn't go over well with Herod. Because he was God. And he's challenged. And the word of God's going to challenge you. Kind of challenge you. I would feel like I was derelict in my duty as a pastor if I come in here and did not challenge you, did not confront you, did not warn you, did not contest you, your life. Columbus asked me last week, he said, 2 weeks ago, he said, "You always all in my business." I say, "Columbus, I'm always in my business too." I say, "Columbus, most of the time I'm up here and up here in this pulpit, feel like I'm sitting and there's somebody up here that's barring my body." And I go, sometimes I go online, listen to some of my sermon, I say, "I don't even know how anybody can listen to that fool." That's just preaching. Okay? Let me give you a couple of verses, because I have to share some of this with you, because that's what the men of God did. Here's Paul talking about the power of the Word of God. It's so important. And I don't hear a lot of people talking about the Word of God. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15. One of the most powerful verses in the Bible about the importance of sound doctrinal preaching. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. For you, listen, y'all hear me say it all the time. You join the church don't mean you saved. Okay? You sit in them chairs and if you're not saved before you sit in them, you're not going to be saved when you get up out of them."
Amen.
And it's hard to get somebody saved after they join the church. You go to some churches and the man of God, like I said, 15, 20, half an hour trying to get folks to get saved or join the church.
Amen.
And Paul says, he says, "For I delivered unto you first of all, that which I also received." How did Paul receive it? Paul was a great sinner. Paul called himself chief of sinner. And Paul was on his way to Damascus to kill some people. He was a hateful man. And God had to do some things with Paul. And when he got done working with Paul, Paul said, "I am chief sinner." Now, somebody, well, if the gospel saved Paul, you know what Paul said? "It can save anybody." And that's why Paul said, "For I delivered unto you first of all, that which I also received, how God slapped me upside my head and kicked me, put me down on the ground in the dirt. Then a bright light shined from heaven, put shells over my eyes, scales over my eyes." Let me tell you something now. Paul had a dramatic salvation experience. And some of us needed one. Some of us got loved ones that need a dramatic. It's going to take something. It's going to take something crazy to save some of our loved ones. And you know it is. Paul, he said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ," watch this now, "died for our sins according to the scriptures." He died for our sins according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures. And what does the scripture say? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's the scripture. That's the gospel in a nutshell. Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead. And you got to preach it. It has to be preached. There's no other way. Paul would say to the church of Acts, he said, "There's none other God, none other name under heaven whereby a man must be saved." And in the Corinthian church, which many of our churches model after a corrupt carnal church, I hear folks always calling me and telling me, "Well, you know, I got the fivefold ministry and the gift of healing is going on and the gift of miracles and we speaking in tongues and we just doing all this stuff." Let me tell you something. Paul said this. He said, y'all know this verse, and "I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech and of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Watch this now. Paul said, I ain't got all that junk. I ain't got no buffet of messages. I'm not teaching you how the five love languages and how to love your wife and how to love this. And Paul said, listen, here's what I preach. I ain't got time for all that. If you come here for all that, then you need to go, you need some counseling. They got folks out there, professional folks, to teach you on how to get out of debt and all that. I ain't got time for that, Paul said. I ain't coming in here preaching on tithing every week and preaching on Malachi and giving and how to raise an offer. I ain't got time for all that. Paul said, here's what I do. Here's what I do. He said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And Paul said, now I know some of y'all didn't want to hear that. Y'all rather me come up here and do the James Brown. Y'all rather me come up here and clown and act like a fool. Okay? But Paul said, I know y'all didn't want to hear it, but he said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Because see, back then they throw rocks at a preacher. Okay? I told you the story about John Wesley. John Wesley traveling and preaching, and folks didn't like it nowhere he went. Nobody wanted to hear the gospel because John Wesley preached it. And everywhere he went, they threw rocks at him. He'd be ducking. And he went 2 weeks. The man said he went 2 weeks and nobody threw rocks at him. And he fell down on his knees. He fell down on his knees. And he said, Lord, forgive me if I'm not preaching the gospel. And he got up. Started walking. Here come a rock. Dismissed him. He said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm on the right road now. Okay? Woe unto man when all men speak well of you. That means you ain't speaking nothing. And you got a whole 10,000 members and all the fornicators and adulterers and the drunkards, they line up at the door shaking the pastor's hand. Thank you for not preaching nothing. Ain't nobody shaking my hand after church. Listen, folks, ain't nobody shake Paul's hand. They want to stone him. And they killed all them apostles because nobody wanted to hear it. Watch this, though. Let me finish this verse. Paul said, I was determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words. Singing preachers and singing and miming and all that stuff. We running around here condemning everybody for blackface and we doing whiteface in the church. Listen, in my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words. Come to Jesus, join the church. You know, we are tied in church. We believe in tied at this church. You know, if you're going to be a member of this church, we are tied in church. Listen, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of God and of power. Now watch this last verse. Don't miss this. Because Paul was faithful. And he knew this verse. And people say, we don't know who wrote Hebrews. And I'm not going to say it because it doesn't say who wrote Hebrews. We don't know who the writer of Hebrews is, but we all believe it's Paul. But the Hebrew writer said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can tie it all you want. You can mime all you want. You can sing all you want. You can dance all you want. But without faith, you ain't going to heaven. Okay? Without faith, you're not going to heaven. And Paul knew that, so he's dogmatically determined to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Watch what he said. He said, that your faith, not mine, I'm good. Paul said, I'm good. But that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man. Oh, let me tell you something, folks. You better shake it. If you got a man-made, man-centered, man-produced faith, listen, it will not stand in the day of judgment. Because I hear Christians all the time asking, you know, are you a Christian? And the first thing they want to tell you what church they go to or who their pastor is. Let me tell you something. You better know the code. Y'all know the code. 316-289-14-6. Let me tell you something. He said, I am 14-6. I'm going to give you the last digits like they ask you on your credit card. Give me the last four. He said, I am the way, the truth, and a life. No man, no Muslim, no Mormon, no adulterer, no fornicator, no homosexual, no, put it all there. No man comes to the Father except by me. Now, what you saying, Pastor? Ain't gonna be no. That's what I'm saying. Heaven gonna be full of drunks. It ain't gonna be full of homosexuals. Heaven gonna be full of adulterers, liars, cheaters, thieves. Lies. Heaven gonna be full of them folks. But you know what the key is? They gonna be born again, folks. They gonna be born again, homosexual. Born again, thieves. Well, you know, they gotta have a message for the homosexual. I don't have no message for the homosexual. Amen. The same message was good for me is good for them. Amen. They must be born again. Amen. No secret. Well, you know, you gotta. I ain't gotta do nothing. Paul said, listen. Paul says, just like this, I was determined not to know anything among you. I don't even need to know who the homosexuals is. I don't even need to know unless you come in here in a miniskirt. For I determined not to know anything among you. The less I know about y'all, the better. Because I don't want you to hang out. I'm not going to stop. Y'all ain't looking at me when he's talking about me. I don't know what y'all do. None of y'all invite me to y'all Super Bowl party. Listen. Paul says, I was determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know why? Because that's the only way you're going to get saved.
Yeah.
You're going to accept His work on Calvary. You're going to accept the fact that He was born of a virgin, that He lived a sinless life. He committed no sins. And somebody goes, well, you know, him and Mary Magdalene, I don't know, they was winking at each other. No, he wasn't winking at Mary Magdalene.
Amen.
He was sinless.
Amen.
He was without sin. He lived without sin. And they nailed him to a cross. They crucified him.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And the thief on the cross, the thief on the right, God opened his eyes and said, and this man has committed no sin. Mm-hmm. Validation. And he was crucified, nailed to a cross. He was buried and rose on the third day. That's the God we're talking about. Paul says this, that your faith, Matthew, not stand in the wisdom of man. In his trickery, cleverness. Folks say, well, you know, I talk to the tongue speakers. And the tongue speakers say, well, you know, speaking of tongues, is the evidence of you receiving the Holy Ghost. So you saying that because I'm a Baptist preacher that don't speak in tongues, I can't go to heaven. Because I know I can't go without the Spirit of God. Uh-huh. So if I had never spoken tongues, I'm not going to heaven. That's really what they're saying. And I say, hey, wait a minute. Wait, John 3:16 don't say that. See, I lined up everything with John 3:16. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe on Him, believe on Him, shall have everlasting life. Oh, yeah, get up out of here. You Baptist folks. Well, I don't go to a Baptist church, y'all. We believe in all the gifts. It's still in operation. Well, why are you wearing glasses? Why you got a dentist appointment? If all the gifts in operation, the last place I would want to go, if I had the gift of healing, the last place I want to go to a dentist. I hate the dentist. I graduated with my dentist. We went to school together. He my boy. And I'm sitting here like, listen, Joe, we ain't got to go through this. I got to get it all out. Yeah, we got to get it all out. Tears coming down my face. Now, listen, if I ever had the gift of healing, you would never catch me in a dentist chair. Well, I'm going to let it go. Y'all think I don't know when to quit. I do know when to quit. Y'all may not think I know when to quit, but I know what to quit. Let me just read the rest of the scripture for you, just to go home and read James. Read James chapter 1 and 16 through 24 because it's a good message. It's a message to the church. Paul, James is saying, says this. He says, wherefore lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. You know, when you get something engrafted in you, you know, think about someone who you know, my dad had an aortic valve replaced. And that thing was engrafted in him. And once it took hold and he was healed, his body started pumping the blood properly. Okay? I had a hernia way back in the day. And the doctor put some, engrafted some pig skin or something. I wasn't Muslim or nothing, so I would put some pig skin in me. And after a while, that thing engrafted in, you know, it was a, that, now I'm going to tell y'all something. Women having babies, my heart go out to you. I had that hernia, and Karina was like two, just, and I was in, and I got the hernia. They did a local anesthesia because, you know, preacher said, I know the doctor say, you's a real man. I ain't putting you to sleep. I'm going to do a local anesthesia. He did a local. I was wide awake, cut me, just serious, Roy, cut me, and he tell me, cough. I'm wide awake. He said, well, I'm going to give you some painkillers, and then, you know, yeah. But you got to get this prescription. And I get a prescription to Cindy, and I say, okay, I get home, and after the pain medicine, well, my whole body was just bumping. And I say, Cindy, you got the prescription? She says, yeah, I'm at the mall. Yeah, she at the mall, and my body, just the whole bed moving. Okay? So I'm laying in bed. She finally come home, and here come Karina running up the steps. I'm like, oh Lord, this ain't gonna be good. And she just took off full flight into the bed. I thought I was gonna die. That's mine. I don't even know how I got there. Engrafted word. Thank you. Which is able to save your soul. But then James said, but be doers of the word. And not hearers only. Deceiving yourself. See, when you are a hearer only, you heard the word, it had no effect on you. It don't move you. It don't sway you. You can sit here and quote 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. And I talk to brothers and sisters. Ain't nothing passed away. They still living in slavery in 1850. Ain't nothing passed away. You know, that verse don't mean that. Yes, it do. Amen. Old things have passed away. All things have passed away. They still mad at their first husband. I every time I see a car like his, I get mad. Well, I thought the whole thing passed away. No, that ain't passed away. You know, I'm not a doer of the word. I'm just a hearer only. See? And you deceived. And the problem with being deceived, you can't be deceived on the day of judgment. Because, see, God got a message for deceived folks. He going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. You was a hearer, but not a doer. This line is for doers only. For if a man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like to a man beholding his natural face in the mirror. You don't wake up in the morning, you done ate some salty food, been slobbing all night. Wake up and look in the mirror, got crust all on your mouth, crust in your eyes, and you see folks come to work like that. I've been working a long time. See, you ain't looking in the mirror this morning. See, and that's what James is saying. That's the person who's like a doer. Not like he's a hearer. He look in the mirror, see a hot mess, and don't do nothing about it. Don't do nothing about it. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way straightway, forgetteth what manner of man he was. Forget what manner of man he was. Well, folks, that's sermon one. On being born again. Being a born again believer. I talk to people, I say, what does it mean to be born again? A lot of Christians don't even know what it means to be born again. Well, you know, being born again made me tithe. We caught up in that stuff. Being born again don't mean nothing like that.
Yeah.
Precious Lord, we just thank you this morning. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the power of God. Thank you for the move of God. Thank you for the people of God. Thank you for visitors coming to hear the word of God. But most of all, Father God, thank you for saving us. Thank you for being dogmatic and calling us out, confronting us while we was in our sins, and then giving us the faith to believe. Oh, your words say without faith it's impossible. Please, God, Father God, we just want more faith. I just can't get enough faith. I don't want to even be a thought that I don't have enough faith. And then, Father God, I want to be your man. I want to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ dogmatically, fearlessly, in a determined way. Father God, I thank you for everything you do. Thank you for this church. Thank you for babies crying. Better than babies dying. Thank you, Father God, for Jesus Christ and him crucified. And God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. God keep you.